This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat market for Friday, November 13th. Well, the wheat markets yesterday under a bit of pressure as all of the grains pulled back from their highs, and in fact, corn giving us a pretty good break to the downside following a sharp rally on the supply-demand report earlier in the week. So it's been quite a roller coaster in corn and to some degree in beans as well. But the beans had the big surge up on the report, and they basically just kind of chopped sideways since then. Corn has pulled back, given up all the gains from that crop report, and wheat had a bit of a bump but really couldn't make anything of it, and it continued to ratchet lower, putting in new lows even this morning on the night session. So with wheat, it's more of a tag-along market. We are watching dry conditions here in the U.S. Southern Plains, but that's, of course, not a huge issue at this time of year. What we are seeing is a decrease in plantings in hard red, which has been going on for several years, but it appears that that's continuing this year, along with an increase in soft red plantings. A couple reasons for the increase in soft red plantings is we had an early harvest across much of that central Midwest region where soft red is grown. So that opens up the fields, obviously, got good moisture conditions, and the price differentials. Chicago's been above Kansas City for a couple years, and with soybeans soaring the way they are, it's making the double crop soft red wheat and soybeans become much more economical versus just corn. So it looks like we're going to see a notable increase in soft red plantings while we see a bit of a decrease in hard red. Just that alone would suggest that you're going to have those spreads narrow up. KC should lose its discount to Chicago and regain its premium, which it normally would do anyway, as it's a quality wheat and should carry a premium value over Chicago. And this, but the stocks situation in Chicago has been so tight from a couple years of a sharp drop in production, and Kansas City hardwood winter wheat has had some good years. I think that's all going to shift. And of course, if the dryness continues into next spring, that throws gas on that fire. But we won't really know that, obviously, until that time frame comes. But in the meantime, just from a planting standpoint, it would suggest that that spread's going to work. What holds me back on getting into that spread is the dryness in South America, which is continuing, and it's really ratcheting up price action in soybeans and corn to some degree, because you are going to lose some soybean acres that'll just go directly to corn in Brazil. But if the drought continues across southern Brazil and into Argentina, likely it's going to affect corn there too, the first corn crop, and it's going to affect soybeans. So that's going to push the row crops higher. Most likely Chicago wheat will be tagged, well, wheat will tag along with that, but it would be Chicago leading the way. So I want to be careful about selling Chicago versus Kansas City when you have that outlier there with the second strongest La Nina on record having a significant impact already on Brazil and Argentine production. So those are the things that we're looking at primarily, and we want to be kind of on point. If you get a weather market from South America, you know, it'll probably happen over the next month and a half or so. And I'm presuming Chicago will perform better than KC or Minneapolis, and that will widen those spreads out, and then we'll look to put those on. That would actually be a pretty sweet opportunity, but you have to be just careful to see if that happens. In the meantime, Russia finally has announced their tariff rate quota. They are not going to start it until the middle of February, and of course it'll go to the end of the marketing year on June 30th, but it will be a total of 15 million tons, and that's not restrictive at all. So that was another bearish component to the wheat complex over the last couple days. So the U.S. prices, futures prices, FOB offers have declined pretty significantly over the last few days, and it's taken us close to where the Russian FOB offers are. It's making us much more competitive in the export market, not to mention the weaker dollar. So that's, I think, setting us up for some demand to come our way. And I think we'll offer support to the wheat market as we move forward. So, you know, we've transitioned out of a flat or a bear market in wheat, you know, considering massive crop out of Russia, a record world crop. But we had a tight crop in Europe, which has kind of given free rein to the Black Sea. And you're still looking at the wheat market being very strong. Demand is strong, especially for corn and soybeans in the other grains. It just it has a bullish feel to the row crops and also spilling over to wheat. And obviously with dryness in the Black Sea for their fall planting season. And again, there too, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have a disastrous crop next year, but it certainly doesn't encourage plantings, and it doesn't encourage good germination and establishment before the winter comes. So both the United States and the Black Sea region for winter wheat production is getting off to a poor start in the fall. Now, export sales were out this morning. Wheat 300,000 tons, which is pretty low considering what we've been used to seeing. It's about half of what the average has been over the last several weeks, but it was within the range of estimates from 200,000 to 700,000. There weren't any really notable big buyers, just pretty standard business. In corn, 978,000 tons, that was in the middle of the range of estimates. In soybeans, 1.5 million tons, also within its range of estimates. China took half of that at 745,000 tons. So here we are, you know, Friday, we're going to wrap up the week. It's been a pretty active trading week. Wheat has pulled back quite a bit. We still haven't taken out that high from a few weeks ago to give us the divergence on the indicators. I still think that's going to happen, and it probably will be on the heels of a strong soybean market, would be my guess. That market doesn't want to give up. We're already, you know, plowed through one of the targets here a couple weeks ago. Any correction just seems to be more of a sideways type of pattern. And of course, the dryness in South America is the primary reason, but you've got massive demand from China as well. And, you know, they've been getting sales on the books. Now they're going to start the program of actually procuring that grain and getting it delivered. That's going to support the cash market on the breaks. So it just seems to me that corn and beans are not going to correct all that much, and if they continue to stay strong, it's going to lend some support to wheat. We're looking for wheat to have that one more push up where we close into a new high and at least give us the divergence on the indicators. After that, that's probably all we're going to get. I don't see anything huge happening in wheat until we get into next growing season. So we're pretty much wrapped up for the southern hemisphere. We're well into harvest. We're going to see those supplies come on the market. Argentina's not as great as it started out looking like it could be, but it will still have an export program. And Australia is cutting their third largest crop ever, and you know that they're going to be aggressive moving it out. So you're going to run into those headwinds as we get into December, Jan, Feb, and then, of course, you start the new growing season. So look for wheat to be supported, and at least in the short term. And I think corn and beans look pretty solid as well. You can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.